Welcome back to another episode of Not Even D2, the podcast covering all the narratives that matter within college sports through interviews with those involved in college sports. If you're watching on YouTube, like always, make sure to hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on any other platform, make sure to hit that follow button. We appreciate all the support. And if you forgot, go hit that subscribe button. But on today's episode, we got Yanni Chen. Yanni is just a hooper. And she's the first Hong Kong woman to come to the NCAA, which is a crazy, crazy thing to be the pioneer of. She went to Emmanuel College, Division III school in Massachusetts. And now she just transferred to Iona, Division I. So, I mean, any Division III to Division I transfer, they got to be nice. And Yanni is definitely that. And there's a ton to talk about, you know, the differences between Hong Kong and America, her transition. She played for Hong Kong's national team, so she's got a lot of experiences. She's friends with Jamaad Finn, who's inspiration in herself. So, I mean, this was just a really good episode, and I want to hear what you got to say about it.
It was definitely a great episode. You know, Yanni, she's really cool. I think it's cool that she's like a trailblazer in her own way, being the first woman from Hong Kong to go play college basketball. And just hearing her story, like her adjustment to living in Boston, right? Boston is a really big city for some people, or it's like a whole and different environment for some, right? And then now hearing her transition to Iona, she kind of has to do it all over again, but it always seems like she keeps like a positive attitude on things, right? Like she never seemed like she was like, because I'm pretty sure she was injured. She didn't really talk about it much, but she was injured last year. But it wasn't like a negative thing or something that it seemed like was like above her head, like a dark cloud. Like, I don't know. She had a really good energy, and it was like a really good conversation with her. And I was really glad we got that episode done, bro.
No, yeah, we were definitely waiting. She was in Hong Kong when we wanted to record with her. So she was like, you guys got to wait for me. And we were more than happy to, because she's a legend. And I think I mentioned this to you over text the other day, but I really think that she's going to have a big year at Iona. And the reason why I'm saying this is like every place that she goes to, it's tons of obstacles in her way. And she always just hurdles them. Like, she wasn't speaking hardly any English when she first got to America. I don't think people realize how hard that is. Like, being in a locker room full of people only speaking English and you're not understanding them, but still managing to be like conference player of the year. That's incredible. And she's now like transferring to Division I, which is a huge leap, but she's consistent in her work. You can see it on her socials or just knowing her, like every day she's in the gym. I was just talking to her through text and she got hurt and she was like, I'm still in the gym. And I was like, you might want to like chill. Don't rush it. But she just is a grinder. And I think that this is going to pay off. Iona, they didn't have the best year last year, but that I think that they're going to have a big year. And I think that Yanni is also going to have a big year. So I mean, we're big fans of everything that she has done, but we know that there's more to come. And she also knows that there's more to come, even outside of the game of basketball, which I feel like we can talk a lot about. But anything else like pressing that you want to talk about?
Nah, I mean, I think she's due for a big year. You know, I was talking to how we got connected with her was through my guy, Mitchell Kirsch. He kind of put us in contact. And like I was talking to him after we filmed the episode with Yanni about like who she is. And he was like, I've only worked out with her two or three times, but he was like, she was eager to work out, number one. Number two, like she was going super hard in the workout, like wasn't taking any like steps off or any drills off. She was working out with dudes and like was going at them is what he told me. And it's like, and he's also like, bro, have you seen her, like how she works in the weight room? Like she's gonna figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Like big role or not, like Yanni's gonna, I know she's gonna figure it out. And I'm excited to watch her play this year at Iona for sure.
Yeah. And then the final thing that I want to talk about is just, I mentioned that, but like regardless of the obstacles, she's getting through them. but she's trying to implore this in the younger generations in Hong Kong, or even just girls playing basketball, which I definitely appreciate. Like a fan of women's basketball and wants to see it keep growing. Somebody like Yanni, like she doesn't have the biggest platform right now, but she's growing it every day, and she wants Hong Kong to be a nationally known like basketball program, and she's doing her part. She just played on their national team and got them their first ever win in the Asian Games, which we talk about in the episode, so stay tuned for that. But I mean, she's just like I said, she's a legend, and she might not realize it, but she's an inspiration to so many people. And there's a few people that can be credited for her success today, but like what she's doing in the game of basketball and outside is really inspirational. And I mean that like for real. So, yeah. I mean, we cover a lot with her talking about what it was first like getting to America, which is just a crazy experience that not many people have to experience, but she went through it. Her coach Yasinov, arguably going to be nominated in the Hall of Fame, but is getting inducted into the Small College Hall of Fame. So a legend in himself, recruiting a bunch of great talents from different cultures. A lot of respect goes to him. And then finally, like what it was like playing in the Asian Games. We talk about that a lot, but so much more, and just a great conversation we have with Yanni. So let's hear from Yanni.
All right, we're here with Yanni Chen. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
So excited. I've been looking forward to this for like a week since like you guys told me about it. So really excited to be
Let's go. This is something that Ruta and I were just having a conversation, and I just want to start with this. We were just having a conversation with a girl we were friends with, and she was a transfer from a junior community college, and she was saying how like her transition wasn't that smooth, you know, being on the team with a bunch of different new girls. It was like a rocky transition. So I was just wondering if you could talk about how it's been with the Iona girls, living there, it looks like. So just talk to me about that process.
Yeah, sure. I think so far I've been enjoying this, like, I don't know, like the whole team vibes. And then I mean, the workout is definitely hard, a lot harder, a lot more challenging. We have like 4, 8 a.m. lifts, and then we have like conditioning, we have like individual workout, and then like team workouts and stuff. It's like in the summer too, and we have to take summer classes. So it's definitely like kind of like an early prep of what it's going to look like in the season. And but so far I really like the team culture. I feel like everyone treat each other as like family, and then coaches are really caring. Like, I mean, on the court she might be like straight, and then she won the best from us, and she want us to like win this year for sure. But I feel like off the court I can always go talk to her, ask for her advice and stuff. So I mean, there's definitely a part, like, don't get me wrong, there's definitely, like, ups and downs. There'll be days that I'm like, oh, like, why am I not doing good and stuff? But I feel like so far, because of the atmosphere is pretty, like, I'll say competitive, but also it's, like, a friendly, positive, competitive environment. So I've been enjoying it, like, so far. And, I mean, there's a lot more resources, I would say, compared to, like, previous school, which, I mean, Emmanuel already, like, I'm very grateful for everything there. But now it's definitely, like, a level up. So definitely like enjoying everything right now.
How are you enjoying the area? Because Emmanuel's in like right in the city of Boston, and then Iona's in New Rochelle, which is like right above New York City. So how has that been for you?
I mean, I'm pretty lucky, to be honest. Like coming all the way from Hong Kong, a pretty good city, and then going to Boston, another great city, and then now it's like near New York. I would say here is not as convenient as Boston, because I can walk to Target, like Fenway is right next to us when I was at Emmanuel. It was like kind of very walkable. Here, I haven't really tried to take the train yet because my teammate have car, and then like they can just park. Like, so we'd be like driving to different places. They'd drive me to some, like maybe even like we went to like Asian Market, like H Mart, because I have like I'm very close with two of my teammates. Like one of them, like she's Filipino, so We sometimes we cooking like Asian food together. We went to Jersey together. It was like really fun. Yeah.
That's what's up. I mean, let's that's a perfect transition, just talking about, you know, hoops and your teammates. And, you know, one thing I'm wondering about, so just watching your film online, you have like a crafty game, like you have change of pace, or you have like step throughs on when you go to the rim, or Euro steps, different hand finishes. So just talk about how you like developed your game over time, and if anyone inspired your own game growing up.
Yeah, I think growing up, I just loved basketball. As in, like, my mom told me when I was younger, when I see, like, a ball, like a soccer, I would dribble it, like, with my hand, which I guess is supposed to, like, kick it with my feet or whatever. But, like, I would be, like, dribbling around. So my mom got me those, like, little baskets, which is, like, this tall. And I would be just, like, playing around with it, like, in the house. So I just love the feeling of shooting, like, making a shot, and then play around with like a ball. And I mean, when I was like younger, I loved watching like highlights and stuff. So I'll be like watching some people doing cool moves, and then like I'll be like, I want to do that. So I think one time you talk about those like maybe like up and under, like those kind of like moves. So I think when I was in like primary three, so which is around like maybe like primary four, like for like 12 years old. So my coach, by the time we were playing like OUT, which is like horse, and then he did this like crazy move like around the back and then like in between the legs in the air and then make the layup. So I saw that and I was like, there's no way. Like, he didn't make that shot though, but then he like gave me the idea that you can actually do those stuff. So every day I would be like, it, within those like recess time, I'll run to the court and just keep trying to do it until I can make it. And I still remember, like, I think that's how I like kind of like play like a guy sometimes. A lot of people say like I move like a guy sometimes, and I just feel like growing up I'm like very competitive. When I see something that looks cool, I want to like learn from it, and I want to like challenge myself to do it. Like at first I loved watching like Kobe's game when I first fall in love with basketball. And then when I go like older, and then Steph prop up, and then it's just, I love shooting, so I love his game. But more like after like watching his game, I know his story of like being an underdog, being like a three-star recruit. And I feel like I respect him a lot, like not only like his achievement, but coming from like kind of like an underdog story. So that's why like I feel like I watch him a lot, just like shooting the ball, like those like coming off the screen, shoot the ball, those kind of stuff. So I would say he did inspire like my game, like when I'm like kind of like the most like crucial area, like moment when I was like growing up.
So you said off air that, you know, sports isn't really that popular in Hong Kong. So I'm wondering how you got involved with sports while, you know, while growing up.
I would say in Hong Kong, sports is, like, sports in the States is more like entertainment, like it's like a whole business industry that people will like, maybe in the weekend we'll be like, oh, let's go to like an NBA game, let's go to like a Yankee game or whatever, like go to a game together. That's like something like that you would do. But I would say in Hong Kong, people treat sport more like, oh, I need to kind of be good in this sport so I can get into this school. I can get like a scholarship into this school, blah, 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 more like that. So at first when I start playing basketball, I feel like it's more like just because I love it. Like, I don't know, it's just like a special connection that with the ball, that I love the feeling when I'm shooting. So whenever I have like anything, I would love to just go to the gym and shoot by myself, and I feel a lot better. So I think that's like how I get into basketball. But like, I would say like is improving, especially individual sports, because I mean, now it's in the Olympic, and like 2 days ago, we actually have the third Olympic like medal. So she's like, she just got like a Olympic gold medal in like fencing. So whenever there's some kind of award, then people kind of, oh, wow, like athletes, are, like Hong Kong athletes are tough, Hong Kong athletes are good. But I feel like in general, the awareness, especially for women's sports or like women basketball, is not really that like compared to here is not really kind of like first, not like very supportive, as in like people won't really go to a game to like, oh, like I want to see that, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's actually another great transition. So you're the pioneer of Hong Kong, mm-hmm. local Hong Kong woman coming to the United States for college. You were the first ever, like, this is a fact, the first ever local Hong Kong player to come to the NCAA and compete. So that's a lot of credit to you. And I also I listened to an interview and you were saying how, like, your family wasn't that supportive at first of that move. And obviously mm-hmm. you have a lot of love for your country. I see that on your Instagram. So I was just wondering mm-hmm. if you could talk about like that process coming to the US, like how that came about, who was contacting you or were you contacting colleges? And then the second question to that is, what were your first impressions of America, like outside mm-hmm. of basketball, just like as society, how Americans live?
Yeah, for sure. So basically, I first have the idea to like come to the state to play basketball when I actually just graduated from high school. So I met my coach, Coach William. He's like basically my big brother, my mentor, like my role model. So he owned like a strength and conditioning facilities and there's like a basketball court there. At first he was like, there's not really many supports for women basketball. So he wanted to like provide us more like support. So he gave us kind of like free strength and conditioning workout, and then we become like Strive sponsor athlete that we can go to like the gym, we can do whatever in the gym. So that was like after public exam, I was in his gym every single day. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I have this opportunity. He got a shooting machine, like he'll be like anytime, like maybe like 7 a.m. he'll be free, and I'm like, I'm coming, like can I come get a workout in with you? So I think like over like a little bit of time, he was like, he saw my potential and he asked me if I want to come to play in the States, because he's like half American and half Hong Kong, and he studied high school and college here. He studied at Manhattanville, so he knows what's the difference to like basketball wise, like being here, like competing in like a much higher level, and then like in general in life, it's just much better like education to just see the world like in like a different country. So he gave me the idea if I want to come. So by the time it was like 2019, so we started like preparing, because in Hong Kong I'm kind of like tall, so I was actually kind of a forward, I would say. I was not really like a guard, but I was just obsessed with shooting. So I'm so glad that I can shoot the ball, because if I'm 5'10 and I can't shoot the ball, he would never like see the potential in me. That's what he said, which I understand why. Yeah. So he was like, so we work on like ball handling, we work on everything, like fundamentals, like every day in the gym for 2 years, because there was social unrest and also COVID. That's why I can't really come to show coaches that, oh, I can actually play. So he helped me send out 250 emails to different coaches, like different division, and then only one comeback, which is like Coach Andy or something. He saw my video that I like touched the rim, and then he was like seeing my highlight, and he was like recruiting me off those like highlights. So I'm like very grateful that he got me here. Like otherwise I would have never been able to play here. And speaking of like, I mean, I was, by the time I was the first one like from local school for D3 to like come all the way here for like women's, and I mean for Division One, I'm like the first one for girls, but by the time for Division Three in local school, I'm like the first one. So no one has ever kind of done similar things before. So my parents, like at first they were thinking like basketball helped me get to like a good high school, helped me get to like, like I went to like a pretty good university in Hong Kong, like during that 2 years. So they were like, why are you like kind of giving up all these to go to somewhere that you don't know what the future is going to hold? So like, it's more like they prioritize stability because they don't want me to, like they want to protect me, like as in like, they're just like worried about me, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
I think we spent like a long time trying to convince my parents, which, I mean, they've been always supportive to me playing basketball. They always come to games and stuff. But I guess, like, I mean, no one has done it. And then it's just very, like a big thing that they're like I have to step out of my comfort zone, which I've never stepped my feet out of Asia before, like coming to the state. So of course they're gonna be like worried because like they love me. So going to your second question, once I get here, I feel like my first impression is Coach Andy's car. Like he drove like an orange car, and then when I get to the airport, I just landed. He was like boo boo boo, like, and the whole like people were like looking at me like, who is this? And then he was like, oh, she flew all the way from Hong Kong. This is her first time in the States. Like, yeah, he's a character for real. But that's like the first like kind of coming over like a 20-hour flight or whatever, and that's like the first impression. I mean, he's very passionate, he's like funny. But like basketball wise, once I get here, I do feel like the culture is so like, the basketball culture is just so good here. Like everyone kind of like comes support, and then like the level is a lot higher, like intensity, like contact, like everything is just a big upgrade for me. And then like, let's say like game day in Hong Kong, we might play in like a government court, like somewhere, like it changed kind of every time. But now we actually have home game, we actually have away game, that we have kind of our own like fans, like students to like support us. And then like there's facilities, like trainers, there's someone there who will help us do our laundry after our practice so we can have clean practice jersey next day. I think these all support all around, the support is like definitely a big shock to me at first. I was like, whoa, I feel like a spoiled kid here, like playing like sports. Yeah. So that's like my first impression. Yeah.
I like that. Something you made me think about, you mentioned that you sent like 250 emails and only one got back to you. So during that time, what was your like mental thought process or mental health, like nobody wants me? What were you thinking during that time?
I feel like, to be honest, by the time I was still like, because no one has done it before, so I don't really have like very high expectation that I'm gonna make it, because like it's kind of like, from my perspective, is more like it's COVID, like no coaches are gonna like just give someone a shot from Hong Kong, which our like team is not like Spain or like those kind of big country that they can just know the competition level is high and they would just recruit me. So by the time I was just, my mindset is more like, I'll just keep working and then one day I'll make it, like just keep working and then be patient. I think like, I'm so glad that like Coach Will and also his wife Angela, they've been like helping me a lot during that time, because it was also COVID and Hong Kong has very strict COVID rules. Yeah. So we'll be like, most of the time I'll be like locked in the house, and we will like, coach will be like kind of secretly like open back the gym, like so just I can get in and then get shots up and stuff, because I can't be staying home for too long. Like I'll go crazy if I just like stuck. So I mean, like, so that, like, even now when we talk about it, like COVID, like definitely like not like it was like kind of bad, but it kind of help me grow my game, help me like to get this opportunity, if that makes sense. So I would say definitely that time it was just more like kind of looking forward to an opportunity and then just keep putting in the work.
So one thing I'm wondering about, you talked about how you're the first like girl from Hong Kong to ever like come over and play like basically college basketball, if I'm not mistaken. Do you feel like you've inspired maybe girls who are younger than you, or girls who are maybe in your position or were in your position to now come and play college basketball because you've done well?
I feel like at first I didn't really relate it like that, but then I think over the years, especially this time now, I make it to like the D1 and I really feel like I'm becoming like a role model for most of like the girls who play basketball in Hong Kong. Like I did that CAM in Hong Kong, because I mean CAM culture is something that I took from here, like the giving back to the community thing. I feel like that's why I started like my first kind of small camp in Hong Kong this past summer. And when you see those girls, like just being so shy, but at the same time, they enjoy you interacting with them and then like look up to you. That feeling is amazing. And then I know I'm doing the right thing. Like, another thing is, like, so talking about, like, Coach Will and Angela, so they actually, after sending me here, or, like, during the process, because I met him when I was, like, 18, 19, it was pretty late. So he was like, what if I meet you, like, what if I met you when you're, like, 13 or, like, 14, those age? So they actually start up a team called Strive Go Team. It's a nonprofit. And it's like, so Coach Will and his wife, Angela, they try to, like, find girls who are, like, most of the time they might be, like, underprivileged, though they don't have, like, the resources to, like, get good training, to get, like, to, like, good education most of the time. So they will, there's, like, a team. So Coach Will actually brought them to, like, Kentucky and Chicago this past summer to play in the AAU so they can get recruited. And those trips are all, like, supported. Like, they don't have to pay money for it. So the girls can, like, basically get recruited, like, from that way. So it's kind of, like, life-changing experience. So there's another girl, like, a high school girl. So she's, like, my little sister. I don't know if you guys see my Instagram. Sometimes I'll be posting her. Like, she went to, like, work, and she's going to transfer to Mercersburg Academy, which is, like, top 40 in the state. So she was kind of, like, living, her living condition in Hong Kong is not as good, and she was once almost quitting school, trying to just get to work because of her family condition, and now because of the Go team, she got recruited here, and now she can, like, have, like, a whole, basically, like, 180 change of life. So, I mean, that, like, sometimes I think about it, I'm still like, well, when they say, like, thank you so much for, like, being the first one, it's, like, stressful sometimes because I'll be like, oh, I'm, like, the first one. I want to do better. I want to make sure that I'm representing Hong Kong the right way. But, like, it'll be, like, very heartwarming when I see them success too, if that makes sense.
It 100% makes sense for me. Makes sense to me. I know, like, you know, I work for, like, a local, like, basketball, like, basically boys and girls club, which are, like, basically in the States. It's, like, basically for underprivileged kids, right, that come, they'll come in and they'll come, you know, have day camps, or sometimes they'll play basketball. And to see, to have them, you know, just enjoy for 2 hours playing basketball, which is such a fun sport, and you could see it on their faces how much they love it. So I definitely see what, I definitely see what you're saying. I want to transition to your coach. You could tell me if I'm saying his name wrong, Coach Yasinov.
Yasinov.
Coach Andy Yasinov. So Coach Andy Yasinov is a legend in you know, in many circles, right? So he's one of 10 coaches in NCAA women's basketball coaching history with at least 900 career wins. And he currently sits eighth all time on the list with 905 victories. This is from an article from a couple months ago, but you know, so one thing I'm wondering about, it's not really a surprise to me that, you know, he saw your talent, right? So he, it's clear he's been around basketball for a long time. So he knows a basketball talent when he sees one. And I just want you to talk about how, like, his impact on you that he had, that he had on you over your, you know, couple years at Emmanuel.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like what I mentioned, he, like, picked me up from the airport. He was taking care of me, like, before I even get there. He'll be calling my coach, like, Coach William, like, looking how I'm working out and stuff. And then, so basically, I feel like I'll forever be, like, grateful for him of what are, like, all the stuff that he has done for me. Even though now I'm not playing for him, like, I feel like he'll always be, like, a important person in my life because he basically gave me the opportunity for this life-changing experience. I feel like his passionate towards basketball, towards the game, is something that I've never seen in my life before. Like, he'll be, like, I mean, he doesn't really have kids. He doesn't really have, like, wife or, like, pets or whatever. So his life is all about basketball. So sometimes he can be very intense, but I feel like, great coaches are all, like, like, because how much they love the game. Like, I still remember sometimes, like, he'll be doing interviews asking him when, like, if he's going to retire soon or whatever. He'll be like, oh, like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't know that word, like, something like that. But, I mean, definitely he took very great care of me on and off the court, like, he said I'm kind of like his daughter that he never really had, and which is like very sweet that, I mean, I come all the way from Hong Kong. He always makes sure that like I'm fine with everything. Like during the breaks, he'll find alumni's house for me to stay. And then like if I like always asking me, oh, do you like do you have enough money? Like, are you good with everything? Blah, blah. So I feel like he's definitely like someone that who cares about his players a lot. And that's like that's like the thing that you can ask for, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, he's like a great coach with like 900 wins. Like, I was there getting the 900 wins with him, celebrating with him. So that was definitely one of the best moment, because we were playing Albertus Magnus, and then they were ranked number one by the time, and then we like beat them in their gym. So it was like when we start the season, we can't even see like getting the 900 wins, to be honest, because it was like a new team. I was the only player from the starting lineup that stayed, like was still there. So it was a great year. Like, I feel like just without him, I won't be able to step in any of the NCAA courts. So like, shout out to him for like everything like right now. Yeah.
For sure, you definitely got to give a big shout out to him. And one thing I didn't even mention, he was actually placed on the voting ballot for the 2024 Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. I don't think he ended up making it, but I'm rooting for him. Hopefully in the future he can make it. I definitely think he has the resume to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
So transitioning to a different topic, just looking on your Instagram, it seems like you would compete in like outdoor basketball tournaments in the area in Boston. Or you would play in the SIS run, which is basically high level pickup basketball for women's basketball players in the area. And you also work out with my guy Mitchell Kirsch. So, I seen that. So he's the best. But just talk about, you know, the basketball community that you've seen from, you know, the Boston or greater Boston area while, you know, attending school in the area.
So during the summer, I still remember, I think the first year when I got back home. So at first I promised my parents, oh, I'm going to go home for like 3 to 4 months during the summer. Like, I'll still have a lot of time. But then the first year when I got back, I saw William, and then he was like, oh, I'm happy that you're here, but you should not be here right now. Like, you should be playing summer basketball. Like, that's the best season, because you can play against, like, it's like a cheat for you. You can play against like D1 player, professional player. So first year, it was tough because I had to tell my parents, oh, I'm leaving. Like, sorry, I didn't promise like the 3 to 4 months. It's just kidding. But before like summer, I find like an on-campus job that I can stay at Emmanuel. They were like, the facilities were so nice that they can store my stuff and everything. So I like work kind of, not like full-time, but like I work there. And then like during the nights, I would go to like SIS run and then go to different summer leagues. And so the first summer, I was like kind of knowing no one at first. But I think Coach William helped me connect it with Coach Greg, which is the owner of SIS run. So he was like, oh, like you're welcome. So he brought me in. At first, I was still pretty shy. He's like, oh, like there's a lot of great players here. So like I was a little bit shy, but I remember like when we start playing a little bit more, like and then they start recognizing I can actually play, and then there would be more like they would talk to me and they're like, oh, they want to work out and stuff. So I mean, like those friends, I make a lot of like good friends, good connections through like summer workout. Like Asia Dingo, she like helped me through like a lot with like the D1 process, whatever. And I mean, I learned a lot from her too because of her like experience. We're like good friends. So I feel like the Northeast like basketball community, they're really nice. They're like, I mean, when it is on the court, it's not nice. Like when it's on the court, it's all business, right? Like when I went to that, yeah, like Roxbury Dorchester neighborhood game, I was told to come to hoop just like. Coach Greg was like, oh, are you doing anything like this Saturday? I was like, nothing. You want to come? So I actually took a bus to like that summer league. I didn't know that was like one of the biggest summer league in the area. So I got there. I saw Juice brand, like Jalen Brown's brand with the pop-up. Yep. I was like, whoa, did I went to like the wrong place or something? Like, why is it like all like kind of blocked up? Like, what is happening? And so when I get like closer, I was like, oh, are you guys playing? I saw my friends who I play in like with like in Sisrun. And they were like, oh yeah, are you playing too? I was like, I guess that's what I was told. And all my friends from Demon School, they're on the other team. They're on the Dorchester team. And I still had like the game is almost like starting and I hadn't seen any like of my teammates. So I started getting worried. I'm like, what is going on? And I think that game is definitely one of the best moment of my like basketball career so far, because I mean, you know, summer leagues like culture is like every like people are like so hype, and then we have announcer like just hyping up the whole thing. And I still remember at first I was a little bit nervous, but then like I get into like, oh, like I think by the time I probably was like the only Asian on the court, like on that court, I was like, I can't really be like playing back. I can't be like suck, and then they won't like let me play again. And I'm like, they would know that I'm from Hong Kong. I kind of don't want to like have that. I was thinking about that. I'm like, no, I gotta like put on like a good game. And Jaylen Brown was sitting there watching too. So I was like, I gotta do something. So I think after I start like get like hitting shots, I get my confidence. And then the announcer at that time was like, knowing that I was from Hong Kong. So there was like a video, she flew all the way from Hong Kong, like there's Yeti, like when I hit the shot. And like, I feel like that was the moment that I'm like, wow, I did it. Like I showed people that Hong Kong players can actually hoop like in these kind of like level and stuff. So those are like great moments. And like, as I said, like I met a lot of good friends there too. So I feel like, even now they're like, when are you coming back to play? Like, I miss like the Sisrun like right now because I'm like here, but like during the break, like I might go back to see my friends and hopefully I can like hoop with them soon.
Word. I love that story. That's tough that you started killing too. I like that.
You know, it was just like, and then when I sent it to like Coach William, like he knows that's like the real like summer league stuff. And he was like, wow, like I'm so glad you have these experiences, because it's like not easy that they would invite a girl like just to join in and hoop with them like that. And I'm like, sometimes they'll be like, you're not even from Roxbury, but then like I live in Emmanuel's dorm, so they're like, no, she lived there. Like, but like I'm very grateful that they like respect me as like a girl like from Hong Kong, and then giving me the opportunity to play with them, to just learn from them, and then like be friends with them. Yeah.
So moving on to a different topic, you actually play for Hong Kong's national team, and this past year you represented them in the Asian Games. And yep. I don't want to oversimplify what the Asian Games are, but can I say it's like a mini Olympics for just Asian countries?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, it's kind of like I think it's like under the Asian Olympic Committee. So it's basically, I would say, like an Olympic just for like the Asians. Yeah.
So you were playing in that that tournament, those games, and mm-hmm. the Asian Games are from late September to like early to mid October. So not right in the basketball season, but when it's right around the corner, you're starting to mentally prepare. And I was reading in an article that you were asked during school, like, can you play? So I was just wondering if you could walk me through that process of like, who asked you to play, how much time you had to think about your decision, and just like what ultimately went into that decision to leave Emmanuel for those next few weeks to play for your country.
Sure. So I think they first start asking me maybe like a year ago if I'm interested, because I think when I was like 18 or 19, I got into like the national team. So like they were like asking if I'm interested. But at first, they were asking me if I want to play in the free-on-free tournament instead of the 5-on-5. But the free-on-free tournament, there's, like, an age limitation. And then there's also, like, I think at first I rejected because I was, like, I don't want to fly all the way for, like, two free-on-free games. And then it's not even, like, the senior team. I don't think my coach would let me leave for that. So that's what happened at first. And then I think when they get closer to the game, maybe like a few months ago, and the head coach is like, oh, this time we want to ask you if you want to come to play for the 5-on-5 team, like the senior national team. And then I know like for Asian game right now, I mean, I hope Hong Kong can get to further soon, But for now, Hong Kong women's basketball, Asian game is like the highest level that we can get to. So I started talking to my coach Andy, and I was like, this is like a great opportunity. Like I look up the information for him, like this is gonna be a big game. Like I'll play against like Japan, okay, play against like very good like Asian teams for like experience and stuff that I can like bring back. So I asked him if I can go. So I think it was more like late spring, because I still have to like go to the professor and ask them if I can actually go, because school part, like Coach Andy once he saw those information, he was like, yeah, like I'll let you go, but you need to like figure out with the academic side that if you can go, because it's like a whole 2 weeks of school. And so I went to like academic advisors and then like the professors. Luckily my grades are pretty good, so they were like, oh, you're gonna be able to catch up. So they let me go. I think like I was like, I mean, thank you so much for letting me go, like for them, because I know it's not easy for me to skip like 2 weeks of we still have a little bit team workout, because last year they changed the rules in Division Three that you can like have 8 practice or whatever. So I actually so I told the coach, like Coach Andy was like, oh, if they pay for everything, if like you can get this exposure, like, yeah, I'll let you go. So end up he let me go. And that was like one of the great, like, I mean, that's like my first international game playing for like Hong Kong. Yeah. So that was amazing.
Word. Shout out to that experience. You guys got the first dub in Hong Kong history. Yeah. So that's super big time. And that's actually a good thing to bring up. Like, you guys getting the first win, that meant a lot for Hong Kong women's basketball, because you actually talked about this in an interview, but a lot of the girls on that team, they have full-time jobs. They're not playing professionally. So there'll be some nights where like they're up all 24 hours. They'll go to their full-time job and then have to go to practice and then right back to work. So, yeah. I mean, it obviously a lot of dedication from those girls. I was wondering if you could just shed a little light on the pride that Hong Kong has playing in the Asian Games.
For sure. I mean, yeah, like what you said, like most of a teammate, like we don't have professional team for women's in Hong Kong. That's why like all of us are like either students, or most of them are like teachers, that they have like a 9-to-5 job. They have to teach and then they like practice after. Like, so we practice maybe like 9 to 11 at night. So that's basically how it is. So that's why I'm like, sometimes I'll be like, I don't know if I can do that. Like I'm like, I don't know how you guys can work this out. But like, so being on the like Hong Kong national team, I feel like for me at least, it's like definitely like a kind of like a dream come true moment. Because I mean, you play basketball and you're like representing your own like national team to play in one of the highest level competition. So as someone who like comes to the state and like kind of I'm like trying to give back to like the Hong Kong basketball community too. So I, going into the game, I was like, I really want to show like people that we have the ability and we kind of deserve more like awareness, resources or whatever, kind of like that. Cause I have another team, one of the teammates, she actually went to the WCBA, which is like the Chinese like professional league. And she became like the first one. I used to play with her like together too, in like a club team. So I feel like both of us are more like, we really want to prove that after going out, like with the exposure, we can like, we'll be better. And then we'll like bring the team to like victory. At first we play against Japan. That was like 3 days in after I landed. So not like a big excuse, but the 12 hours time difference did mess me up a little bit. Yeah, but
we don't got to talk about the Japan game much.
No, that game, I mean, it was still like, I was super hyped that game. Cause like, I woke up at like 5 a.m. that day. And I was so excited. As you remember, Coach Willem has to call me to like calm me down a little bit, because most of them are like, I watch on YouTube. And I know some of them like won the like Olympic silver medal. So I really like want to like see how, like what I got when I play against them, which I mean, the score is like a lot big difference, but at least I got the experience. And I mean, second game, I didn't really play that well. So I was a little bit mad at myself a little bit. But then the third game, I was like, that was more like our target. when we play against like Kakistan, and then we were like, we need to get this game because we really want to prove that we're good enough, right? So we also don't have a lot of like international appearance, so that's why our rank is pretty low and like in terms of like the whole like ranking thing. So they were like double, I think they were like 50 something and we're like 100 something. So but then we know we can beat them because we really want to. And that game, I really like give it like everything I got. Like, I think I fell into the ground so many times and like really try my best to like do whatever it takes to win. And end up when that whistle blow and then we won, like I still remember like my legs was like give out and then we're just everyone running together, hugging each other. It was just such a crazy moment, like still in my mind, like now I'm still like, wow, that's like crazy. And then we cry like crazy after two and like interviews and stuff, because like we really want to prove that Hong Kong women basketball is like we're good enough to compete and with like in these like international competitions.
Word. That's definitely, it was an emotional day. I definitely saw some pictures. Yeah. And you were also hooping. I saw that too. You were getting you had a nice little highlight tape that I watched. But yeah, we're gonna take a quick break, talk about you transitioning to Iona and much more. So stay with us and we'll be right back. All right, we're back. So you entered the transfer portal this past offseason. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm curious about this decision. I noticed that you didn't play this past year at Emmanuel due to injury. So you redshirted, but I'm just curious, kind of walk me through what happened, why you wanted to enter the portal and why ultimately Iona was the best place for you.
So at first, I mean, when I was playing summer league, actually, there's a lot of players, like Division I players, they're already like, oh, like you should challenge yourself, you should play D1. But I mean, the first year it was more like an adaptation. So I kind of want to see, like kind of wanted to see if I'm like leading the team at Emmanuel, how far I can like bring the team. So I stayed kind of like just getting more like improvement first. But then that year we lost in the GNAC conference final. So I was like, oh my God, like I feel like unfinished business. Like I don't want to leave like that. You know what I mean? So I was like, no, I don't think I should go. So, but there's already like fours around be like, oh, like I think you should go. And then when I went to Germany for like Albert Berlin's like practice with like the professional team, like some of them actually went to D1 too. And they're like, if you want to play professional, maybe you should like really get more like high level competition, so you can get used to like the physicality, like those kind of like high volume, like practice and stuff. So that was like in my head a little bit during the summer, but I was like, no, like, I'm just going to focus on the season. So right after coming back, flying back from the Asian game, I probably like overtrained a little bit during the summer with like working summer league and then flying a lot. So I hurt my ankle. And at first I was like, oh, it's just an ankle sprain, I can play. Like 2 days later, like just tape it up and it should be fine. But because I was also rushing it a lot, I guess, so it never really healed probably. And it was just every time when I start playing a little bit, it would hurt. So I think in the mid-season I was like, you know what, like I don't think this season I will be able to play because of this injury. So I start thinking about like my future. Like I actually have time to sit down and really think about my future, like because I want to play professional. I mean, WNBA is final goal, but maybe like EuroLeague, I want to like one by one, like step by step. I want, like my goal is to play professional. So I sat down and I was thinking, and then I think in January, I would like make the decision that I think I'm going to enter the transfer portal because I really want to see how far I can go. Like with a new environment, I really want to challenge myself. Like I'm competitive, so I really want to see, I want to actually play with like D1 players, like how would it be like for like experience and just growing my game, like growth in general. So I entered the portal. I think that was not an easy conversation with Coach Andy, of course, like he didn't want me to leave, but I think I also want to like do what's the best for like my future right now. So I mean, when I talked to my teammate, they're like proud of me for making this decision. So like we're still friends, like I still want to like support them. Hopefully I can maybe like catch some of their games soon too. So I think when I entered the portal, there was like a lot of deficient free school like reach out, but I know like my goal is D1, so I asked my friends like Asia, like if she got like some connections, and then like Coach William was helping me, and then a lot of different people, like when they know that I entered the portal, they were like trying to help me out too. So it ended up come down to Maris and Ion, which are both in the same league. In the net, yeah, which is not easy to pick between. But so I mean, Maris, they were like checking in with me like every week during the process. They were like really nice, and I mean, I really like the school too. I like the team. But when I come to Ion, when I have that official visit and workout, I feel like I like the kind of like the school, like the culture here more is a little bit more diverse for sure. And I have like Asian teammate. I think that's like one thing that like now you see me like hang out with her a lot, like going to like Asian food. And I feel like when I was here for that workout, I can see her leadership a lot. And I feel like it will be so cool if like I can learn from her just like from different perspective. So I feel like she's like a big reason, like Ella was like a big reason that I kind of chose here too. And also, I mean, Coach Ange, like after the work, like after the workout, we talk about like stuff. And then she's just like, I feel like she's more like a mom person off the court. Like she'll be caring about stuff that not only basketball, she'll be here like, oh, how are you doing? Like, are you enjoying here? She'll be at like the first thing she asked me when I get into her office, like, oh, are you enjoying here? It's not even like basketball. Oh, like you have to do this, this is so. I feel like when I was talking to her, like after the like workout, she was calling me, FaceTiming me to like catch up to show that they're like really interested. And I mean, also, Iona, they said they were going to be able to like for my 2 years of eligibility, I can be able to finish my degree and then master too, because there's a lot of credits, like 90 credits were able to transfer. So it just, I think academically, like basketball-y, like it was like a better option to choose here. So that's how I get into like Iona.
So talking a little bit more about your game, you obviously had a great career at the Division III level in just 2 short years. Your second year, you were GNAC Player of the Year. And now you're at the Division I level. You're almost done with the summer session. What have you noticed about like yourself or some of the things you might need to work on to be able to be the same player at the Division I level?
Yeah, I think from like the transition so far, I feel like Division I is definitely like the physicality is a lot higher. There will be like girls who are like 6'5", like my teammates like 6'5". And then like it's a lot more like the speed is higher. Like everyone is a lot more athletic. So in Division III, I might be like very, very athletic, like in general, but here I might be more like, maybe it's still like, I would say like mid higher, like maybe like I'm not like that athletic compared to the rest, like the whole team might be like similar. So that would be like a big kind of adjustment. I can't only play with my athletic, like, ability, like I can't only play with like athleticism. Maybe like I really have to like work on like skills. I have to work on like really how to like change of pace, like slow down my game. Like even in the work in the team practice, coach sometimes like when I'm using the ball screen, I have to like really be patient to let them to set up the screen and stuff. And like we also have like pickup a lot of times. Like we have free pickup per week. Is like we organize it by ourselves. It's like coaches are not here, so. I would say we're like always being competitive because I mean we're like family team, but at the end of the day everyone wants to like push each other, like because if you don't like go hard on each other then the team is not gonna get better, and at the same time you also want to like get minutes and stuff. So I would say that's why I say it's like a lot like higher competitive environment. So I think for myself definitely with like injuries and stuff, I think I have to work on a lot of like mobility stuff, like shooting, ball handling can always like get better. And then I would say like defensively is something that I'm focusing on right now, because when I was at Emmanuel, we play a lot of zone, But like here, we play a lot of like, man, like you have to really with like the teammate, work with the teammate. Like, let's say it's like when there's a ball screen and you're going over, or you're going under, or you're going like, you have to listen to your big and see, kind of focusing on what this player's like characteristic, and is she a shooter? Is she going to drive more to like make that decision? So that's something that I'm focusing on right now, I think, for like the big transition.
So what, obviously like playing with your teammates is going to help you just like build that chemistry with them. But are you like watching like any, like, do you guys like film practices and stuff like that? Like, are you like watching practice like over again? Or are you like watching film with your coaches, try to maybe understand, you know, coverages a little bit more? Or?
Right now we don't, I don't know if we actually film it, but I did see that they film it before, but I don't know if it's like during the season they will film it, or like right now they're start film. We haven't really have like film like practice right now. Cause we only have like limited hours that we can be with coaches, I think. So, but then I'll go to like Coach Ange and ask her about, like, let's say finishing up a practice, I can like go up to talk to her like, oh, like this defensive stuff, I think I was not doing good. Like, how should I like do it better? Or like even offensively, how can I like she'll be like, oh, you're a shooter. So if you're thinking about like making a move, maybe you have the space to shoot it. So like, why don't you just shoot the ball? So I think just like communicating with coaches, and like I heard from like Ella and like those like returners, they were like, Coach Andrew's always welcome to like do film with you. Or like even after a game, like she's always open to talk, to help you out. So I think that will be more maybe like an in-season thing, I think. Yeah.
So, you know, just to wrap it up, we noticed that one of your teammates was Jamaat Finn. And yeah. She's well-known in the basketball world. And she made national news being one of the few Muslim women's basketball players. And she inspired many. Like she I think we're pretty sure she ran a camp out of Emmanuel. And I just wanted to talk to you about like how she was as a teammate, friend, and how she maybe has helped you or inspired you to create your own voice in this space.
For sure. I mean, like, she definitely inspired a lot of people, including myself too. Like, I look up to her a lot. Like, even though, like, we're, like, close friends, but I still always tell her that you're always, like, inspiring me a lot with giving back to the community. So, at first, like, I think she... So, we first met when she was... When I was a freshman, she was a fifth year. She was taking her master. So, I didn't know that. I think the first day when I got here, she was already on campus. She was shooting. So that's why, like, Coach Andy was like, oh, come meet, like, your new teammate. Like, she's, like, a freshman. And so she was, like, bringing me around. And then I think when I was trying to get her Instagram, I was like, whoa, like, she got a lot of followers. Yeah. But she's, like, one of the nicest person I've ever seen, like, ever know. She's just, like, such a great person, like, always thinking about others, too. Like, help to, like, help people. And I think, like, first year we were like always in the gym, like, so she would be like shooting maybe like later at night, and I'll be shooting on the other side. So at one point she was like, do you want to work out together? Like, we can just do the shooting machine and like work on handling, because by the time my handling is still a little, like, I mean, it's not that it's really good now, but then my handle was not good since I told you, like, I was kind of like tall, like a forward in Hong Kong. So we were working out every day together. And we actually get very close after I first got to her, like, Thanksgiving tournament. So she did, like, camps all over, like, in, like, different states, like, maybe sometimes, like, Minnesota, like, San Diego, Chicago, Indiana. Like, I went with her, too. Like, it was so cool. So at first, like, first year during the Thanksgiving break, because I'm, like, I don't really have anything. So she was like, do you want to come to, like, come with me to play in that tournament? So I went with her. And then play, like, when I first saw those, like, girls, they were, like, look up to her a lot. They would be, like, so happy to see her. Like, that's, like, something that in my mind I was, like, wow, like, it's so cool that she can gather the community together and give them a platform, give them an opportunity to play basketball. Not only, like, I mean, most of them are Muslim girls, but, like, some of them are, like, just girls who love basketball. I mean, like me, like, I just go there and then just making new friends, like, and with them and then playing with them. So it was so cool to like see her doing these stuff. And like what you said, like she's like she has been having like big, she's like an influencer, so she has like her social media power to like kind of keep promoting like women basketball. I think her goal is always to provide like more opportunity for Muslim girls to play basketball. So that really get into my heart a lot, because when I was seeing those and like when I was helping out with the cams, they would be like, oh, like can you sign my shirt, like when they're there, and then they like really like enjoy the opportunity a lot. So that's like a big thing that she always encouraged me to start my own cam too, and then hopefully in the future we can have like cams in Hong Kong and she can come over too. So that's like the goal. And I feel like she has always been like teaching me every day that when you get more, you have to give it back. Like as in like once you like, I mean, she worked very hard to her position that she's in right now. She was doing content. She was like working out every day to like make sure her handle looks good and stuff. So like definitely it was not easy for her. Even now when I was with her, like doing like social media stuff is not easy. Like I'm trying to learn it too, so I can share it to my girls back home. Like I need to do a better job, but she always helped me out. Like, oh, this edit may be like better. I'll send her like videos before I post it so she can like help me out. But other than that part, I also got a crazy experience because of her. Like she brought me to like the NBA All-Star, and we were in like Celtics game. So like Coach Will and Indra always be like, your life is unreal. Like your life is crazy. He's like, your college life, I don't know what is that. So like super grateful that I get to like have her as a great friend, like my big sister, like a mentor of mine, and then just a role model. And like, I mean, now she's in Paris. Like she just called me before, like we were calling like before the flight, she was like in Paris watching the Olympic like opening ceremony. She's just doing so much cool, like so many cool stuff that I want to like really learn from her. And like, hopefully I can like be like her in the future too.
It's not really a question, but it's really like more of a thought. Like, I just think it's kind of dope that like your coach, Coach Yesenov, like brought like both you guys in, and like, you're like a pioneer in your own way with being one of the few or one of the first women's college basketball players from Hong Kong. But also like with Jamad, like she wears a hijab. I'm sorry if I'm not saying that right, but hijab in observance of her Muslim faith, which is like, you don't really see that. You don't see that at all in basketball, like alone. So like the fact that your coach is like bringing, you know, players from all parts of the country, all parts of the world, and, you know, bringing them together through basketball, I think is like really dope. And that's a quick thought.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Like it's really cool.
And to add on to that, like shout out to both you and your teammate for like defying the odds. It wasn't like you said, like people in your corner might have not been the most supportive of your decision to come to the US. You still did it. And now like you've kept on improving. And then another thing that I like about both of you guys is you guys are giving back to the youth, and that you think that's the most important part. So ton of respect for, like he said, your coach, but also you and your teammate. That's a lot of love. But we're going to end this episode with a little rapid fire and starting five edition. So let us know when you're ready for rapid fire.
Yep, I'm ready.
All right, so first rapid fire question. You played in the GNAC for two seasons. And I'm just wondering, like, who are some of, like, the best players that you remember from your time, like, playing in the GNAC?
Ooh, from the GNAC. I would say, I mean, first year we won. Like, I think our team first year was pretty tough. Like, when I first year, I mean, Jamaa's definitely, like, a hooper. Like, she would be hitting you with, like, crazy move. Like, and, like, Lauren, she's, like, our big. She would, like, finish everything and, like, very good help defense and stuff. And I would say, I would give it to my teammates, actually, like, this first year team. Because, I mean, I do think like we could have went for the first year. Like we didn't, like at the end we didn't really like prep well for that game. So, but I would say they like teach me a lot, and then it was really crazy to be able to be on that team and play. Like we can figure everything out basically. So it was really like it was a tough team. Yeah.
What? So you guys won the conference championship. How was playing in the NCAA tournament? Like how was that experience?
So we lost the first round to Brooklyn College.
In the first round of the tournament. Yeah. But how was it though? Like how was it being able to go to the tournament?
I mean, it was cool. Like, I was like the first year, like coming here, and then we went to the tournament. I still remember, like, I mean, it was tough because we were so close. Like, we were so close at winning to like advance in the second round. But it was definitely so cool to be able to compete in that stage and seeing just we play at Smith and seeing that like basketball talent can be like very high in the States. And that was like an eye opening experience too for me, for sure.
Next rapid fire question. So you could tell me if I'm 100% wrong on this, but I've heard at least that the Chinese food in Boston is like really good. And I was wondering if like you had any like favorite spots that, you know, you went to that you always enjoyed.
Oh yes. I love going to like this hot pot place. It's in like Quincy though, I think. Yeah. Like we love hot pot. It's just the best, especially in the winter. Okay. I forgot the name though.
Is that take bad though with Chinese food in Boston being really good or no? Would you agree with that?
I mean, compared to home is hard. You know, compared to home is hard. But I would say, I mean, I do enjoy going to like Chinatown, and I do see like one of the ramen places there's like Hong Kong people there because I heard Cantonese, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
But I would say it's good. Yeah, it's good.
And then next rapid fire question. What has been your most, I know you talked about like that pickup game or the tournament in like Roxbury versus Dorchester, but what has been like your most like memorable experience thus far, just like playing basketball?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think it will be the first year when we play this against MIT. Yeah, we were down by like 2 points with 4 seconds left, and I got 2 free throws and to get to overtime. And it was like the first few games I got to the state, so it was like pressure and stuff. But like, I remember like my teammate, like the 4 captains came to me, each say something like, oh, you got this, you like practiced so hard for this. And then I made them, and in overtime we win. So that's probably one of the like I've never shoot those free throws before, like win or go home free throws. And like, I'm glad I made that.
That clutch gene.
So
we're gonna finish with a starting five edition. If you're a coach assembling a starting five, point guard through center, who's your lineup gonna be? And this edition is gonna be players you've played with or against, and it can be from your summer league experiences, your Hong Kong experiences, anything. The floor is yours.
So
and just say a little bit about like where they played and why you thought they were good.
So my point guard will be Tainam Mayer. So she played for Duke right now. She's like the point guard for Duke. And I think I play against her in like sixth round, and she's just like very skillful. Like her like step back and just reading off the screen is like really good. So I'll take her as the point guard. And then for like kind of like the second like shooting guard position, I'll pick Asia Dingo. Like she played for Fordham. She was like the A-10, I think, defensive player of the year. Her defense is one of the like best I've played against or I've seen. Like when I was watching like ESPN, they call her like one man press because she can like steal the ball from like literally everyone. Yeah. And then the kind of like small forward position, I'll pick Janae Crumbs. She played for Providence. So when I play against her, I think she can shoot the ball and she has like size that she can like post up and like she can get like rebound and have like some like crazy moves too. So I'll pick her for my first spot. And then for like forward, I'll choose Lauren Manis from, she was like she played for Holy Cross before, and I think she got drafted to the WNBA too. She's like really tough. She got like a crazy turnaround mid range, and she can like drive in and stuff. So when I play against her, like it was really fun because we were competitive and yeah, it was fun. But I'll pick her, and then for the center position, I think I'll pick Caitlin Weimer. So I think I've played against her and played with her in like BU pickup runs, but I think she transferred to NC State this year. She's tough. So this is gonna be my starting lineup.
I heard you. That's a good lineup. There's a lot of high major girls.
Yeah.
I like it. But that's gonna do it for another episode of Not Even D2. We definitely appreciate you coming on the show. It's been a long time coming. We're big fans of everything you got going on, whether that's in basketball or outside of basketball. So definitely keep up the good work, and good luck in your season at the Division I level.
I appreciate you guys for having me today. I had a lot of fun. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2. If you haven't already, make sure to go follow all the socials at Not Even D2. You can catch every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm your host, KJ Allison, and I'll see you next episode.